You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Thousands of pets die needlessly each year because of unrecognized and untreated behavior problems. A pet owner may think that their pet is just being naughty, vindictive, or stubborn, when in reality, there's a medical condition. And yes, a behavioral issue is medical that could be addressed, modified, and treated. Is your pet driving you crazy? How do you know there's something that can be done to correct its seemingly untenable dirty deeds? My guest, Dr. Deborah Horowitz, is just what the doctor ordered. She is an internationally recognized authority on behavioral issues in pets. She is a board-certified diplomate of the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists. She received her doctorate of veterinary medicine from Michigan State University College of Veterinary Medicine. So, be a good human. Sit, wait, we'll have a short commercial, and we'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more, and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Horowitz, thank you for being with us today. People know about the magical, mystical tour of the Beatles several years ago, but you're on your own kind of mystical mystery tour by trying to have people understand behavior of animals. Tell us about this tour that you're on.
Well, it's called the Keep the Love Alive Behavior Express Bus Tour, sponsored by SIVA Animal Health and the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists. And the tour actually has two major goals. The first is to reduce pet relinquishment because of behavior problems. Everybody knows, and you mentioned it, that a lot of people give up their pet because of their behavior. And the second is what the LOVE stands for. The LOVE stands for Lean On Veterinary Expertise. We want people to know that they can go to their veterinarian and get help with those behavior problems, and they don't have to give up their pet.
And it is so sad because almost every day clients are coming in and saying, oh, you know, it's just being naughty. And I had a client yesterday who came in and said that her cat was just being vindictive. She was working more hours, and now the cat was peeing on her clothing. It's like, really? So we started asking some questions and found, nope, I don't think it's being a bad kitty when you clean a cat box out once a week, need it or not.
Yeah, that cat's going to start looking for other things like your clothing.
Now, you're a certified behavior.
I'm a board certified veterinary behaviorist. It's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But you are just one of a very few veterinarians who are into this. Tell us, how did you get into being a behaviorist?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because I get asked that a lot. And one of the things that I love medicine and I like solving problems. And I found that somewhere along the way in my career, I really was enamored I love the idea of helping people with their behavior problems because I found so many people gave up their pets because of their behavior problems. And I found behavior very interesting for me, and I enjoyed reading about the normal behaviors of animals and then trying to help people understand that. And that's really a big focus of what I do and what most veterinary behaviorists do is tell people understand, as you said, that animals are not vindictive, they're not spiteful, they're not mad. Usually they're frustrated or they're anxious or they just plain don't understand what we want them to do. And finally, as people, we don't always meet their needs. So my desire was to help people understand their pets better and realize we can solve a lot of these problems if we really just know what they're trying to say to us.
And sometimes there truly is an underlying medical issue. So we know in people, you can have schizophrenia, you can be bipolar, you can have some medical condition that needs a medication. So I think where you're coming from is so fascinating because oftentimes you do need to have the owner understand a behavior, but sometimes medication is needed. So you're so different than a trainer because oftentimes people say, well, I've gone to a trainer and my trainer says this. And you're not a trainer.
No, we're not trainers. We're veterinarians first and foremost. And so you bring up a very good point, which is that anytime your pet exhibits a behavior that's unwanted, that you should make sure they have a good, complete physical and medical workup. There are lots of reasons that you see a change in behavior that are driven by a medical problem. House soiling is one of them. A pain. There's so many ways that our animals can experience pain that we're not aware of because we forget that in our pets, hiding pain, masking pain is a good idea. Because if you show that you're painful or you're vulnerable in the world that they live in, that can make you in danger.
That
predator
prey.
So they're good at hiding pain. So instead of limping or showing that they're in pain, they may show aggression. They may snap instead, which is a leave me alone signal. So yes, there are a lot of medical problems. And there are occasionally times when our animals have abnormal behaviors. But many of the behaviors we see are either normal behaviors exhibited in an unwanted way or a slightly abnormal behavior that we can help greatly with behavior modification. And yes, sometimes we need medication.
One of the things I find fascinating about this Keep the Love Alive Behavior Express tour is that sometimes these tours are put on by a company, and this is being sponsored by SIVA, and it's just to promote their products. But this is very different, where it's actually the College of Veterinary Behavior that's also involved in this. Why did they get involved?
Well, because we were so excited about the fact that the emphasis of this tour is to lean on veterinary expertise, to go to veterinarians and talk about the behavior problem you're having with your pet, find out if there's a medical issue, get a diagnosis. You talked a little bit before about trainers and people go to their trainer and the trainer doesn't help. Well, we in veterinary behavior want to have a diagnosis because the problems that we see are not training problems. Many of our pets can sit, come down, stay. And so we focus on a diagnosis. We see these signs and we might have an anxiety. We may have separation anxiety. We may have a fear of strangers. We may have a phobia, or we may have a location preference for urinating somewhere else. And once we have our diagnosis, we know what our treatment plan could be. And then the treatment plan includes behavior modification and pheromones. Pheromones are a big part of therapies that we use in treating behavior problems.
Tell us what pheromones is. I think people sometimes know that, okay, there's just something about this person that attracts you to them. You know, maybe their own scent. You fall in love with somebody. It's like, oh, I just love the way they smell. And it's not even necessarily that they're wearing perfume or they're wearing aftershave. It's just something that oozes from their body. So pheromones really are something that ooze from our body. What are they?
Well, pheromones are substances that are species-specific, number one. So there are human pheromones, and there are canine pheromones, and there are feline pheromones, and horses, cows, goats, everybody has their own pheromones. And these are substances that we can react to by experiencing them through our scent organ, through our nose, and also another organ called the vomeronasal organ. And pheromones are very powerful. The ones that people know about the most are sexual pheromones that attract you to somebody. But there are pheromones that calm. So there is a product called Adaptil, which is a synthetic copy of the pheromone that's put out by the mammary gland of a nursing mother, a nursing dog, actually, that calms the puppies. So by making a synthetic copy of that, we can use that when dogs are anxious or frightened, like in separation anxiety or thunderstorm phobias or other noise or anxiety conditions, getting in the car, moving. And pheromones then can be dispensed through a diffuser, which is like a plug-in, like a Glade plug-in, or a spray or a collar. And in cats, we have a pheromone that's called Feel-Away. And Feel-Away mimics the pheromones. You know how cats, when they are in a familiar place, they rub it with their face? You're familiar with that, right?
Oh, yeah. I come home, my animals are just all over me, rubbing on my clothes, rubbing on me.
Right.
Yes.
And so that behavior in cats is a familiarization type of behavior, saying, oh, I belong here, this makes me comfortable. It's a marking function. It's a way of saying, this is mine, this is my territory. And so Feel-Away, which is the cat pheromone, a synthetic copy of that pheromone that they put down in the environment that says, oh, this is my place, that makes me feel comfortable. Just like when we come home, we like to look at how we've arranged our objects on our coffee table, or in the kitchen, we like things to be just so, or the pillows on our bed. We do a lot of things in our environment that make us feel better. And cats rubbing with their face makes them feel better. So this pheromone, Feel-Away, when we plug in that diffuser or use the spray, helps calm cats and makes them feel better. Oh, I can relax. This place is safe. This place is mine.
It's kind of aromatherapy for pets.
Kind of, only we don't notice it. Humans can't smell it. Only pets. And dogs don't notice the cat pheromone, and cats don't notice the dog pheromone. So it's really species specific, and it's great. It's just such an easy adjunct to any behavior issue that you might have for your pet. Easy to do and really helps keep them calmer.
I think one of the things that's so marvelous about Feel-Away and the Adaptil, because yes, we have it at our practice, we recommend it, we use it, is especially cats coming to a veterinary hospital. Most kitties really don't love going in the car. They're not used to it. They go to the veterinarian. We do such fun things as sticking thermometer in their little bums and giving them shots. And it's like, you know, I was really happy in my house, and now I'm in a car, and I can't see where I'm going, and it's scary, and now they come into the practice, and there's just claws and teeth, and it's like, oh, this everyone's having a great time. What we're finding, and this is trying to have these cat-friendly practices in Catalyst, which I think a lot of people are familiar with because I've had them on the show in the past, talking about using this Feel-Away in the carriers, spraying it, letting the alcohol that's in it dissipate for a while. And we'll even spray towels at the beginning of the day with this Feel-Away. And then when a cat comes into the practice, this alcohol has gone away. We put it over their carrier, or we wrap the kitty on the table in this blanket. And it's kind of like, huh, I'm happy. This isn't so bad.
That's right. And one interesting thing about Feel-Away is that it can be used to help train a cat to a cat carrier. So one of the things that I try to get people to do is to help your cat feel a little bit better about going to the vet is take out the drama associated with that cat carrier. Because when that cat carrier comes out, your cat knows right away, oh no, we're leaving the house. Or even Adaptil for dogs when they go to the veterinary clinic. Not all dogs go in the car all the time. So leaving the cat carrier out, and so the cat can go to it, put in treats in there, spray it with Feel-Away so they become familiar with it. Then when you pick them up and bring them to the clinic, it's not a new thing to be in the carrier, and we've diminished one of the items of anxiety. So Feel-Away is really helpful for training them to go in their carrier, and Adaptil collars are really helpful for dogs that don't like to go in the car, and we have the spray. We can spray a bandana just like you talked about for the cats with the towel, and it's great. It really is wonderful.
A couple of years ago, I had another reason to use Feel Away, and I'd love to have you talk us through other ways it can be done. I had two cats. Somebody brought in this cutest little kitten in the whole world to the practice, and I just couldn't resist this one, had to bring it home. And one of my kitties also, as I tell people, his little ears were screwed on too tight. He was a very tense, nervous cat. So I thought, okay, I really know he needs a friend. This will be perfect. Well, he didn't agree with me for about a month, and it was the exorcist cat with the head flipping around several times and screaming and yelling, and I was like, ugh. So I was using Feel Away, and I really do think it helped. But what are some things that people can do when they want to bring a new pet into the house? Because cats sometimes don't agree with us that, you know, two is good, three is too many, or even one's enough.
Well, that's a really good point. We forget sometimes that when we make a change, we have really good reasons for doing it. And one of the changes that we like to do as animal lovers is increase our feline or canine family members. And that's okay. But you have to understand that our pets don't know that we were planning on doing that and may find it upsetting. The second thing we have to also understand is that we like to pick our friends, and so do our cats and dogs. So when we bring in a new pet, it may or may not be a pet that they're all that comfortable with. And it might take some time for them to learn to become comfortable with the new addition to the household. So people have to learn to be patient and understand that just because you wanted to add a new family member doesn't mean that your dog or cat's going to jump at that chance. And so Feel Away and Adaptil are a good part of that, both for the existing pets and the new ones coming in. And then give them time. Give them time and separation. And the final thing I would say is resources. Spread them out. Lots and lots of food bowls, resting places, if they're kitties, litter pans, and all sorts of places. So that if they don't really want to talk to each other just yet, they don't have to.
That's marvelous. And yes, I totally agree with you that these planned marriages, so to speak, we have the best of intentions, but they don't understand our intentions. It's like, you know, it was great the way it was. Why did you have to change things?
Right.
We'll try sometimes to punish these pets. Like, oh, you're being bad. You know, this is a really nice kitty, or this is a really nice pup that I brought into the house. And people don't sometimes think, and they'll punish a pet for not agreeing with us, or they're pooping on the floor. Why is punishment really not the best way to address a behavioral issue?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because it is, we get angry when our pets do things that we don't understand. We all do. When they go to the bathroom in the wrong place, they growl at us, or they growl at a new family member that we've brought in, and we want to make it stop. But here's the thing about punishment. All punishment does is tells you what not to do. It doesn't tell you what to do. And when your pet does something that's unwanted, although we get upset about it, it really helps to step back for a moment and say to yourself, what is my pet trying to tell me? Remember, they don't talk. So their actions have meaning. Their actions are communication with us. So the dog that eliminates in the house when you're gone could be something as simple as, I just can't wait that long till you come home. Or it could be, I have separation anxiety and I'm so anxious when you're gone, I have to go to the bathroom. Or it could be that when you let me outside, you didn't leave me out long enough and I didn't get to go.
They're having a good time. Yeah, looking around.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm in the house.
None of those have to do with making you mad. It has to do with, I needed to go to the bathroom and I had to go. And when you find the soiling on the house or the carpet or the torn up sofa and you bring the dog back to it after the fact and you yell at them, well, unfortunately, they know you're mad, but they don't know what you're talking about because they live in the here and now. And they don't have language. So when you take them back to the sofa and say, why did you chew up my sofa? They look at the sofa and they might say, yeah, I ripped that up. But the act that you're actually yelling at them about at the time is being next to the torn up sofa. And the act you want to change is tearing up the sofa. Those are actually two different things. So punishment's really hard to administer. And it's always a good idea that if you're punishing your pet over and over for the same behavior and it doesn't change, to realize they have no idea what you're talking about and you need some other intervention, probably go to your veterinarian, find out what else you can do, make sure there's not a medical problem, make sure there's not an anxiety-based problem, and really understand, why are they doing this?
Well, we don't want to yell at you, and we don't want to punish you, but we do need to take a short little break right now, and we'll be right back after this short message, so stay tuned.
Okay.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Introducing the new Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection, exclusively at PetSmart. I created it for the pets that rock your world.
Shop the Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection and celebrate PetSmart's 25th anniversary with up to 25% off thousands of items on the PetSmart site. Plus free shipping on orders of $49 or more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com. That's PetSmartDeal.com. PetSmartDeal.com.
Dyson.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radio root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets, every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Horowitz, these are just some marvelous pointers that you're giving. And yes, sometimes you can't help yourself. You're so frustrated because, you know, the animal, yes, has torn up the cushions on the couch or has pooped on the floor again, and it's the third pile of the day you're picking up, and you're beside yourself. What are some of the other most common problems that you hear about in cats and dogs on this tour that you're going on right now?
Well, interestingly enough, the most common problems, the ones that get pets to lose their homes, are actually really annoying but somewhat minor and often easily fixed. One of the most common things people complain about with their dogs is they jump on people and they don't listen. Now, these are probably things we can fix really easily. Jumping up on people is a dog's way of saying hello. Dogs greet each other face to face, so they think they're being polite. Hey, I want to say hello to you in your face, because that's what dogs do.
Or when they smell your bottom parts, too.
Oh, yes. They smell your bottom part, too.
Yeah.
So the dog is doing a dog thing. So really what we need to do is teach that dog to greet people by sitting. But here's a real important point when it comes to changing behavior. When your dog is in the middle of being excited about seeing someone and jumping up and down, that's not a good learning opportunity. Because people or dogs or cats who are highly emotionally aroused, whether you're excited or you're mad, you're not able to learn anything new. So when your dog's jumping and greeting your visitors that way, you're yelling at them, you're pulling on their collar, the message they might get is, my goodness, we get awfully upset when people come to the house. This isn't a good thing for me. Whereas if you put a leash on the dog and you stood back a couple of feet and asked your dog to sit, providing your dog knew how to sit and used a cookie to keep them sitting, then you're showing the dog the right behavior.
And people, so that's happy cookie. I like this.
Yeah, yeah. The other common problem that's mentioned a lot is house soiling. House soiling is a big complaint. One of the major reasons people give up their dogs and cats. And again, very fixable problem. For cats, sometimes it's really as simple as lots of litter boxes, big litter boxes, really clean litter boxes.
Oh, yes.
So
do you like open closed boxes?
You know, it's funny because I did a study many years ago where I looked at various factors in cats that were house soiling outside the litter box and cats that were not. And I thought certain things were going to be correlated with house soiling, one of which was covered boxes. And actually, they were no more prevalent in households of cats that soiled than cats that did not. But that doesn't mean that certain cats don't like covered boxes, and so that's part of the experimentation. But one of the things we've learned over the years, even in urine spraying cats, litter box cleanliness matters. I was recently traveling. I got off the plane. I needed to use the restroom. I walked into the restroom at the airport. The first stall I went into, nobody had flushed the toilet. What do you think I did?
Next one, please.
Next one, please. Right? So that's how I feel. That's how our cats feel sometimes. So some cats are really fastidious. If the litter box is the least bit dirty, they won't use it. Sometimes we can't keep it clean enough, so we need two. If there are multiple cats in a household, maybe they don't get along with each other. And so when one cat tries to go into the room where the litter box is, the other cat attacks it. Well, then cat number one needs a litter box in another place because that cat can't be in two places at once. So again, simple solution. House soiling in dogs, sometimes it's a matter of house training. We haven't trained them well enough. But oftentimes it really is simple things like, you put me outside, you went and took a shower, you came back, I never left the porch. You think I'm done, you let me in, but guess what? I didn't go. So maybe you need to go outside with your dog and witness outdoor elimination. Make sure they went. Maybe they were waiting for their breakfast. Maybe they were anxious that you were going to leave. Maybe they were waiting for the walk that you didn't get to give them. So there are lots of really good reasons that dogs eliminate indoors that are very fixable. Those are the two most common problems that I hear about. And the third probably is for dogs that they're afraid of people. People come to their house and they growl and bark at them. And that takes a little more work, but that's also understanding what our dog's telling us. It's that I don't need any more friends. And some of those dogs are really quite happy if we put them in a separate room with a chew bone and leave them there while we have company. And they go, great, I don't need any more friends. So those are the three most common things I hear as we go through the tour at these pet fairs.
And it's so sad because, yes, there are things that can be done, but sometimes it just takes patience. I especially love when people come in and they're talking about a pet, a dog that's eliminating in the house. And, you know, one of my first questions is, has it ever been 100% house trained? And it's like, well, kind of. It's like, well, it's like kind of being pregnant. You are or you aren't. So, yes, starting from the beginning. Sometimes I think people let the little puppies, those smaller breeds of dogs, get away with it because, oh, it's just a little pee. You know, it's not a real problem. What are some of the suggestions, or do you have suggestions from that puppy get-go? You're saying go outside, watch it. Any other suggestions on how they can optimize the chances that they will have a truly house-trained dog from the very beginning?
Well, the big thing that I try to teach puppy owners is to get elimination under verbal control. So take your puppy out and say your key phrase, like, go potty, do it, take care of business. I don't care what you say. But when your puppy does eliminate, that you reward them with a food reward because you're not rewarding elimination. Because if you have to go to the bathroom, going to the bathroom is rewarding in and of itself. What you're rewarding is the key to housebreaking or house training, which is do it here, do it now. Because that's what we really want. We want to be able to say to your pet, okay, you're outside, do it here, do it now. And if we put a phrase to that, and we always go out with our puppy, go potty, go potty, oh, good, go potty, bring them back inside. If they don't go, bring them back inside and watch them like a hawk. And when they stop moving, pick them up and take them outside and try again. So they understand that, oh, go potty means squat and empty myself. I think that's one of the most valuable tools because then when you're in a hurry to go to work, you woke up late and you got to take the dog out and the dog usually gets a half hour out in the yard to play around and go to the bathroom. You can take them outside and say, go potty. And if they only urinate, you can tell them to go potty again and maybe they'll poop so that you have control of this. And that helps the dog too to know what they need to do.
Yes, I had a black lab that thankfully was potty trained to the point of care. Go potty is like squat and poop's like, right. I don't think I could do it as well as he did. So yes, that
well,
was nice.
Well, you live
nice.
In California, but I will say I used to live in Michigan and it is one of the most valuable things you can teach your dog because if it's icy and cold and they don't really want to go out, you can go out with them and you can say, go potty and they know exactly what to do. It doesn't take long and they go to the bathroom and inside you go. And plus, here's a little something that as a veterinarian I love. If dogs are trained to eliminate on command, how many times do we need to get urine samples from dogs?
Yes.
If we could ask them to go potty, and pet owners should really think about this, if you need to board your dog unexpectedly, or you took a car trip with your dog unexpectedly, or you don't normally walk your dog and now you have to walk them, if your animal, your dog, knows the elimination cue, they can do it anywhere, anytime. And think how uncomfortable it would be for your pet to be in a boarding kennel where there's no grass and they always eliminate on grass. Am I supposed to go potty here? Because do it here, do it now. I don't know. The do it here is not here, no grass. But if someone could say, go potty, the dog would say, oh, I have permission to do it here. And boy, do I need to do it now.
And if you have to leave that pet and it has its magic word, whatever it is, go potty, yes, poop, pee, make sure the people who are taking care of your pet know your magic word.
Yeah,
that's important.
Know your
too.
Magic word. That's true. And you could actually train cats to do that as well if you took them to the litter box. And most people don't need to do that because cats know what to do in the litter box. But it's not unheard of for people to train their pets to do those kinds of things on command. Or another kitten tip that I would give people would be to train your kitten to go in the carrier, but also train your kitten to wear a harness and a leash.
Great idea.
Because it allows you to take your kitten, your cat places, have control. If you need to go to the veterinary hospital, you could use a harness and a leash inside the carrier so that your cat's secure. If you need to travel in your car, it just makes life so much easier. And we can train cats to do just about anything if we are patient and take our time and start with kittens.
And they can do it. They are smart. They just prefer sometimes not to, I believe.
I think that cats are interesting because what they'll do is they assess what they're being asked to do, and then they assess whether that works for them. And here's one nugget, which I know you know, but maybe haven't thought about this way, is that our cats, felines in general, are one of the most efficient predators on the planet. But our little domestic kitties are also prey, which means that in their psyche is a prey animal response to anything that seems dangerous. And what's a prey animal response?
Run.
Run. At least stop and evaluate. So sometimes what we think is reticence or being obstinate is the prey response. I'm scared by this. I'm going under the bed. So it's really important when we talked about the cat being mean or spiteful, it's important to look at how they look at the world. Oh man, this looks scary to me. I'm going to run and hide because I want to be safe. So lots of times when we ask our cats to do something and our body language is a little bit threatening, their first response is, am I going to be safe if I do that? That's why I love behavior. That's why I really love behavior, in saying, well, wait a minute, I got to put myself in that cat's head. And, oh, that's what they're thinking. Well, maybe I can make myself less threatening. Maybe I can make this situation, whether it's a dog or a cat, seem happier or better for them so that they understand it's okay that they can do it. So much of behavior is about diminishing anxiety and increasing comfort. And pheromones really help do that a lot and just enabling us really to show the pets what we need and want them to do, and they'll do it. I mean, animals, they love us. They enjoy living with us. They want to do what we ask them to do if they understand what it is and they feel safe.
One of the things that I had to deal with is I love dogs. I've had dogs. I have to say I'm a cat person. So cats in the house, love them, but I had this one cat, the one I was telling you about, whose little ears were screwed on too tight. He was a urine marker. And one of just the biggest piece de resistance is I was going out on a trip. I had my luggage on the floor, packing up the last bit. And of course, I'm late. I'm running out the door. He's sitting in my luggage as he's done before, you know, no big deal. And then I realized he's peed in my luggage. And he wasn't my friend. So, Dr. Horowitz, why did my kitty pee in my luggage?
Well, it's a little hard to know for sure, but he was anxious and he was trying to mark something that's unfamiliar in his territory. So, urine marking is something that cats do that designates their territory when they're anxious, and it actually, in some kind of strange way, calms them. That's where feel-away would really be helpful, because had you sprayed feel-away around your suitcase, he probably wouldn't urine mark there.
Ah, good idea. Well, that kitty has since gone to heaven, but if I ever have any more or clients are telling me they're doing that, that's a great thing to do because nobody else is going to smell that feel-away. So, yes,
right.
I like
right.
that.
I mean, the cat is, it goes back to, I love using analogies. It goes back to what we humans do. When you go into a hotel room, usually you do a few things that makes it feel like home. You unpack your clothes, you hang them up. You put your toiletries in the bathroom. You do something that makes it seem familiar to you, even though it's a somewhat sterile place and everybody's room looks the same, because making things seem familiar calms us down. Our cats and dogs are often trying to do the same thing with their actions. They're trying to make something seem familiar, or we don't make them feel calm enough or familiar enough. The other reason they do things is because they're anxious and scared.
You have just given us such wonderful information, Dr. Horwitz, and I think we could go on for another hour or two with this information, but we're going to have to stop sometime. Is there a website that people can go to learn more about Feelaway, Adaptil, and this tour that you're on right now?
Absolutely. They can go to the Keep the Love Alive Bus Tour.com and find out about the tour. We are going to 6 cities, and we are in city number 5, which is Atlanta. That's where I'm talking to you from. It's from Atlanta, Georgia, and we will be here through Saturday afternoon. We have a pet fair. And then on September 30th, we're going to be in L.A., and we're going to be at Griffith Park for a pet fair, so come out and see us there.
You're close by. We have to come and visit.
Yes, please come visit. And I'll be there.
Ready. What are you going to be doing there?
There's going to be a pet fair, and we will have tables, and we'll be veterinarians, and we will be there to answer questions and to talk to pet owners about Feelaway and Adaptil. And if they want to know about Feelaway and Adaptil, they can go to SIVA.com. They can also go to goodnewsforpets.com, get lots more information about the tour. And I hope that lots of your listeners in the L.A. area will come out on Sunday, September 30th, and join us at Griffith Park for the pet fair. I'll be there with the SIVA bus, which is gorgeous. The bus is beautiful. It's black and has pictures of dogs and cats on it, and it's just lovely. And
very striking.
And T-shirts, yes. And also, in every city, I should mention this, in every city, we have been partnering with shelters here and selling T-shirts, and the proceeds from selling the T-shirts go to the shelters. So we're all about getting people to keep that love alive by keeping their pets in their home, going to the veterinarian and getting expertise and advice about behavior problems, using pheromones where appropriate, and I hope to see everybody listening at Griffith Park on the 30th.
Fabulous. Well, Dr. Horwitz, you have been wonderful. I appreciate the great information. I always learn so much when I listen to you. So hopefully you've learned a little bit today listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Please tune in again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.